the word that keeps coming to my mind throughout all of this is unprecedented. So many things have happened in the last week or so that we couldn't expect, caught us by surprise, increased a sense of uncertainty in our hearts. Unprecedented. It's unprecedented for us to be here speaking into an empty room. It's unprecedented that we only heard one verse, "Just as I am." When's the last time that happened? There have been unprecedented cancellations, unprecedented decisions, anxiety-provoking announcements and news releases. I certainly can't remember the last time that sitting at home watching TV, watching the news change by the hour, breaking news. Usually it's breaking news and it's not really breaking news, but over the past several days, breaking news has really been breaking, and for some of us might feel like it's about to break us. These are times of tremendous stress, pressure, uncertainty. Think of the financial stress that many are under. Been lost wages, lost commissions, lost fees, lost opportunities for more work. Stock market going down, watching our 401ks shrink before our eyes. There's the inconvenience of having to change our schedule, cancel our plans. I think about the hopes and dreams of so many young adults, young athletes who in this season of life, they've been looking forward to the final tournament, the final competition. And this week, so many of them learned a hard lesson about disappointment. I think of the threat of the virus. For most of us, it seems it's an inconvenience. But for the vulnerable among us, it's an existential threat. And how can we not be worried about members of our own community, our neighborhood, our family, who statistically are more vulnerable to the coronavirus than we are? This is a time of heightened stress and pressure and uncertainty. And as such, these kind of events in life, they are learning opportunities. We are learning a lot about our world in the midst of this. We're learning a lot about our neighbors. We're learning what makes them panic. We're learning how much toilet paper they need. We're learning what makes them feel insecure about the future. We're also learning a lot about our leaders. And we're learning a lot about ourselves. We're discovering our own stress points, discovering our own responses to pressure. We're discovering the depth of our faith in the midst of uncertainty. And over time and through this, we will also learn a lot about God. We learn a lot about what God allows. You've heard me say before, God is the great allower. And that is a stunning, sometimes painful realization as to how much God will allow in God's world. But we also learn that God redeems what God allows. And as people of faith, we look forward to the redemption of these troubles and difficulties. So we learn a lot during these times. And it's also during these times we learn about the essence of our Christian faith. How effective is Christianity during times like this? How does our Christian faith help us? What resources can we find within the Christian faith, within the gospel, the life and death and resurrection of Christ, who's ascended into heaven, is reigning as King Jesus the Lord? What resources are to be found in that story? And as you know, we've been working through Romans, and the gospel story is what holds the church in Rome together. And while I'm not going to talk about the subject I had planned earlier this week, I do want to speak a word of encouragement to you from Romans, especially Romans chapter 5. So in Romans chapter 5, in the first two verses, Paul sums up what he said so far in the first four chapters of the letter. He says in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." First, there's that phrase, justified by faith. In the first four chapters of Romans, Paul has gone to great lengths to demonstrate that both Jews and Gentiles are justified, made right, declared to be in the right, forgiven of their sins, not by works of the law, not by their own inherent goodness, but by the grace of God, and through the faithfulness of Christ, and through our faith in Christ's faithfulness. And because we've been justified by faith, Paul says we have peace with God. We're no longer strangers or enemies. There's no longer any alienation. The sins of the past have been forgiven. We are at peace with God. And he says we have access to God's grace in Christ. And the way he uses grace here, it's not the initial saving grace, the initial gift of salvation. The way he uses grace in this passage, he's talking about the abiding presence and power of God. We have access to that in Christ because we belong to the forgiven family of God. And so Paul says, because we are at peace with God and enjoy access to God's grace, we can glory in God, in the hope, in the future that God has promised for creation. In fact, in these two verses, there's past, present, and future. There's forgiveness for the past, there's access to God's grace in the present, and then there's hope in the future. And in our time together today, I want to focus on that access to God's grace, that power of God's presence in the present moment. Because if you continue reading in Romans 5, he says in verse 3, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. We have access to God's grace in the midst of suffering." When Paul talks about suffering in his letters, we typically assume he's talking about persecution, suffering brought on by opposition to the way of Christ. But certainly in our circumstances today, we can enlarge this idea of suffering to include that larger concept of adversity. It is in the midst of adversity that we experience the grace of God, the power of God at work in us, producing in us what we need to respond well to adversity. So that Paul says we can glory or boast in our sufferings, not boast because we're suffering, but boast that God is going to use our sufferings or our adversity to bring about something positive, not only in our lives, but in the world. And so Paul says, God uses adversity to produce in us perseverance. Perseverance is persistence under stress. Perseverance is endurance under stress. It's our ability to continue to move forward as things get increasingly difficult. Endurance is not demonstrated when we sprint. It's not experienced in a short race. It's the long race that reveals our endurance. I've told you many times, because it gives me great pleasure to remind you of the fact that years ago I ran a marathon, and that's 26.2 miles, and the 0.2 miles matters, especially when it's tacked on to the first 26. And I remember when I ran that marathon, The first 20 miles were easy. They were fun. I had a running partner. We were able to chat. People along the course were cheering us on. The sights and the sounds of the race itself were energizing for 20 miles. But upon completion of the 20-mile mark, something changed in me, and it got incredibly hard. And for 6 miles, there was no talking. Wasn't paying attention to what anyone was saying or doing on the side of the course. Wasn't enjoying the scenery. Well, for 20 miles, I had my head down, and I was focused on taking the next step. 6 miles, one step at a time, until I finished the race. It's perseverance. Taking the next step, the next moment, the next hour, the next day, one at a time, until we finish the race. The truth is, we don't know how long this particular segment of our race will last. We don't know. We don't know if we'll be back together next Sunday or if this kind of online experience will continue on for several weeks. We just don't know. We don't know how long this crisis will last in our city or in our nation. What a wonderful opportunity for God to create in us perseverance. Endurance and persistence under stress. And then Paul says that perseverance produces or leads to character. And the way Paul uses character in this passage, he's talking about positive conduct or behavior under pressure. Someone said that Christians are like tea bags, not flea bags, tea bags. Christians are like tea bags. You have to put us in hot water to see how strong we are. And it's in these moments of pressure, when the heat gets turned up on us, that we see the quality of our character. It's not just taking the next step till we finish the race. It's taking the next right action, doing the next right thing for ourselves, for our family, but also for our neighbors. It's positive conduct under pressure. And then Paul says that our perseverance, which produces character, produces hope. And for Paul, hope is a Christian virtue, not optimism that says that things will get better eventually, all of this will pass. Well, for Paul, hope is rooted in Christ, in the hope of Christ's resurrection, but also in the hope of what God will do and what God has promised to do in transforming all of creation. Our hope is confidence in God in times of uncertainty. It's Abraham at the end of chapter 4 who, hope against hope, trusted God to keep his promise, to give him not just a son, but a family that would become a nation. It's our faith in God, it's our hope in God in times of uncertainty that gives us the courage. The courage to be kind when others are being cruel. The courage to remain calm when others are panicking. The courage to continue to do the next right thing even as we begin to feel more and more pressure. Because we believe that God makes promises and God keeps promises. And we trust God during these times of uncertainty. I love this famous line from Julian of Norwich. She didn't write this line. She actually heard Christ say this to her in a vision. But many years ago, she wrote down what she heard from Christ, who said to her, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." Because in Christ, God has promised to make all things new. I find it interesting also that Julian of Norwich was born and raised in a time when Europe experienced great plagues. tremendous violence, civil unrest. She was raised in chaotic times, and in the midst of that chaos, she heard Christ say to her, "All shall be well." So this is an opportunity for us to learn, but it's also an opportunity for our neighbors to learn, something about us, what kind of people we are, to see the difference hope in Christ makes for those who trust God in times of uncertainty. It's an opportunity for our neighbors to learn the difference the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. For that's the way Paul closes this paragraph in chapter 5, or verse 5. He says, "Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's God at work in us that's doing this. Our perseverance, our character, our hope, it's not coming from our own steam, from our own effort. It's the love of God poured into us through the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of God that we have access to in Christ that empowers us to be the kind of people that who not only receive God's love, but then share it with others. And that's my hope and prayer for us during this time as we run this segment of the race. We don't know how long it will last, but we know that God is with us every step of the way, and that God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit is working in us, not just to give us comfort and assurance, but to be comforting people, to be a comforting presence for those around us who are overwhelmed with anxiety. As we finish our time together, if you haven't already, I would encourage you to share communion with your friends or your family, whoever it is that's gathered with you today. What a wonderful opportunity this is as well, to gather in a circle or to sit around a table, to do communion, to share communion old style. And by old style, I mean the way they did it when Christ taught his disciples to do it, around a table. And as you break the bread, and as you take the cup, remember Christ, his sacrifice that God allowed, but also his saving death that God redeemed by raising him from the dead for the benefit of Christ, but also for our benefit. And as you take the bread and the cup, may you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may that filling of the Holy Spirit create in you a feeling of peace, of comfort, and courage. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us so many resources in Christ. Resources to forgive our sins, to give us peace, to provide comfort and assurance in times of uncertainty. And we ask that you would use this adversity to produce in us Christ-like virtues, perseverance, character, and hope. And we ask that as we gather around your table, you would infuse in us the hope of glory that we find in Christ, that you are at work in making all things new. In Jesus' name we pray.